Greetings, Flesh Wound Horror Freaks, and welcome to a brand new Christmas edition of Flesh Wound Horror. I'm Daniel Shine, joined as always by the Grinch himself, Todd Loya.
What's up?
Pugs Dread.
I'm going to say Bah Humbug.
And Ozzy V on Flesh Wound Horror.
Yeah. This is a bonus here, because you mentioned always joined by, and I just need to clarify, I'm a bonus. I'm probably not going to be back next week and whatever.
You know what? I defended him one time because the always is for Todd. Everything else past that is for Todd. That's why he goes to
always with me is Todd, comma, and sometimes these guys.
Yeah, that's when it stops.
So. I see. I want it to be. It doesn't always have to be as always Todd. I mean, there's never you don't need me
every show. But at the same time, it is accurate.
Unfortunately,
like when there's Dan, there's Todd.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's better than having a guy with a lump in his face next to me all the time.
Well, there you go.
Whoa!
No threats of it popping in your eye.
I think I'm on the other side normally, so I'm safe. No, I'm not. Jesus.
Yeah, I think you're in range.
Anyway, we need to bring him on. God, you're mean.
He's been on Dan.
We got to bring him back, though. I mean, good God! Like,
we'll do it on our 500th show,
which is coming up. Recently, I've thought of Osmosis Jones when I saw a picture of him because of the zit scene. And I'm just thinking, like, man, like, if Osmosis Jones was real and like the zit was like that for real, I wonder what the lump is like. So if like the zit was like a nightclub, the lump has got to be like Las Vegas.
It's Dubai.
Dubai. Monte Carlo.
You know what? It's the casino from Star Wars.
Now you just ruined it. Now we were having fun. We're having a good time.
You know what? It might end just as bad. So, Jedi. You know what? Maybe Todd has a point.
But you know what?
Kruger hit him with the chair. And see what comes out.
You're already gonna get in trouble now. You brought up Kruger's name.
In a nice way.
I told you not to do that.
In a nice way. I just said hit somebody with a chair.
Good luck.
Because no one does it better. Good God. Why does everybody want to hurt me? It's like you just
have that face.
Calm down. Calm down, Wham.
I'm a boy George. I was curious if you're about to ask why does everybody want to make see you cry? That's what I thought the follow-up was going to be.
Well, at least Wham got the laugh, even if it was wrong.
Because I knew where you were going for it. It's amazing.
So, anyways, we are here tonight to talk about movies, not just being a-holes to our friends. And that is the holiday classic from 1984. Gremlins, director Joe Dante, of course. And this, I think you all know Gremlins, but if you don't, for some reason, I suppose it's possible. A boy inadvertently breaks three important rules concerning his new pet and unleashes a horde of malevolently mischievous monsters on a small town. Okay, there's somebody that's watching it for the first time this year. So, Ozzy, since you are the special guest attraction for the evening, I'll go to you first. Do you remember, with classic films, I always like to ask, do you remember like when you first saw it? Yes. You know,
so when I first saw it, I did not watch it all the way through. I know that I came in to when it was already like that Christmas night, and when Billy was just getting the Mogwai. That's when I had jumped in, and I didn't I'd recall other scenes after that, but in terms of seeing it from start to finish, it was probably a while before I actually had that opportunity to do so. But I did kind of was puzzled by, I hope I'm not jumping ahead or anything like this. When you read your synopsis, you talked about the boy breaking three rules. Technically, he broke, well, actually, it wasn't even his fault the first time that Gizmo got wet. Corey Feldman was just an idiot. And in fact, that was the only time. It was the only time Corey Feldman was really prominently featured. I mean, sure, he was in the science class when they were watching the video, or he's using the slingshot at a point to ward off some things. But Corey Feldman's character was just an idiot and got the thing wet. And then the gremlins tricked Billy to feed him after midnight because they chewed through the wire of the clock. I mean, I know we said spoiler alert. We always say this, right? But it's like over 20 years old. Yeah. So I just was puzzled by that synopsis because technically Billy didn't break all three of those rules. Although he was an idiot when he did come to Brightlight. I mean, that should have been fairly obvious. I mean, Gizmo had to yell a few times.
I do have a question. They always said don't feed him after midnight, but what about before that? Like, what is the time period where I can feed him?
11:59.
Okay, but so 12:01 is okay?
12:01 is not okay.
12:02?
12:02 is not okay. 11:59 is okay.
Okay, when can I feed him after 11:59?
When does it reset?
Yes.
See, that's the problem. Dawn?
I think I would assume, well, that's the thing you have to assume. Don't feed him after midnight. Okay,
because so then you have the whole time zone issue too.
Are they like intermittent fasting where they need like 16 hours after midnight?
I've always wondered that, even now small.
I was wondering how are they supposed to bathe? How, like, a Mogwai's gotta smell pretty bad if it can't bathe.
Dry
clean. Like a cat?
It can't lick itself.
It's not maybe it's its own enzymes don't act like water.
He smells like Snuggles, the bear, the entire time. He dryer sheet all over him.
That can't be right.
Well, when you come across a gremlin, you tell us what they smell like.
I also don't know how they're supposed to enjoy liquid-based food items.
That is a problem.
Like soup? I think soup
is meant to die in a day. Basically,
or just refresh a glass of water.
But what do they eat?
Wires,
chicken,
candy. Come
candy.
On,
candy. Which doesn't.
They have sodas in the movies too, by the way.
Yeah. Wait, the gremlins do though. Not I don't. Does Gizmo ever drink?
I don't think. Gizmo, oh, you're right. Yeah.
Okay.
No. What do you think the return policy is on them?
I don't know.
A return policy on a Mogwai?
Yeah, what's grandfather's
return? Dan, they're going to look at you and be like, no.
No, they can't have a return policy because the Mogwai wasn't for sale.
And
you can't have a return policy for something that wasn't for sale.
That's true.
Ozzy, you're not going to get this, but I imagine Dan going to buy a gremlin is kind of like when they go and try and buy a chicken in Devil's Rejects. That's how Dan's
doing. Now, see, since you went there, I was going to say Richard Gere returning a hamster.
Oh, that's what you would do it for?
Okay. Todd made it not classy, so all right, I'll go there.
I did not say what was said in the film.
Does anybody else have a feeling like that shop owner knows Homeboy from Hellraiser? Like they sell the same, they have the same like dealer.
That's like my angry emo brother.
Yeah.
So Pugs, do you have any memories, early memories of the film? When did you first see it?
Actually, I don't remember when I first saw it. This is another one of those movies where I just grew up with it and it's always been there. And I've always watched it around Christmas. Like I think everybody should. Cause it's like, it's for the entire family. It's got your good horror moments. And it's got your family friendly bullshit going on. I love Gizmo.
And he's one just of adorable. My and one of my favorite Christmas stories ever, we'll get to later.
And you're also old enough.
The dog.
It, I will get to that. The greatest weekend in cinema history as a young child.
Ooh. And that fucking old lady reminded me of a Cruella de Vil, and I wanted her to
tickle,
get a coaster.
Tickle, tickle.
Yeah.
Flo from the television series Alice, if you're old enough to remember that.
Oh,
I know the name. I am. Yeah. But
she
she
was the kiss my grits lady. So I can't remember the date. Dan, did you say the release date?
1984. This movie is 30.
I know the age. I meant the release date. Well, it was summer. I can tell you that. And I can't remember which, but one of them had a sneak preview and one of them was a regular release. So on Friday, I saw either Gremlins or Ghostbusters, and Saturday I saw the other one because one was on a sneak peek a week early and the other one came out that weekend. So
yeah, you were properly entertained that weekend, sir.
And it was at, it's long gone now, the Cinerama Dome, closer to where Ozzy's at in East Anaheim. It was on Chatham.
Oh, yes. Off
the you remember it?
Yes. I saw Who Framed Roger Rabbit there.
Fuck yeah.
I saw quite a few. And that's, I saw Terminator, because it was only, Terminator 2, the only theater that had it in actual 70 millimeter around
called
us.
Called the Cinedome.
Cinedome, yes. Did I say yes! Cinerama?
Oh, yeah.
Man, I think I called it the LA one. I missed one.
That place so much. That place was awesome. That was like stadium seating before stadium seating was cool. Jurassic Park and Independence Day. Man, that was crazy. Yeah. A funny note about this that I thought was interesting, and it didn't really hit me till afterward. So obviously Corey Feldman is in this movie. Corey Feldman's also in The Goonies, right? There's a scene in The Goonies where Chunk, after getting freed or freeing Sloth, and he's on the phone with the sheriff and he's trying to tell him what's going on. The sheriff doesn't believe him. And then the sheriff says, oh, like the time he told us about those creatures that multiply when you pour water on them. That hit me back. Cause I was like, wait, does in this, in The Goonies, is the Gremlins its own separate movie? And he's talking about that. Or is that just supposed to be a callback to Gremlins, but Corey Feldman? So what world is this? I kind of got all twisted there because mouth was the reason we got multiple gremlins.
Don't even get Ozzy into when Short Round brings up the octopus. So
I don't even see in the DVD.
Yeah, only in the television version.
It's a good reason. Awesome. It's a weird scene.
It is.
Oh, let's attach this. I don't want to get into Goonies. Sorry.
I'm sure we'll talk about that episode. Dan, what about you?
So like most people, I mean, this was a childhood staple. I saw it very early on and it led me because, Gremlins is one of those movies, one of the more ripped off movies there's ever been, much like Die Hard or Alien. I mean, you just had countless at these points, Die Hard and Aliens clones. Gremlins launched its own subgenre.
I wouldn't say it had that effect of a Die Hard or a Lethal Weapon. There was maybe a dozen, and mostly Charles Band and Roger Corman
produced. I think more than that if you do account, because you had the Munchie movies, Ghoulies, okay. You had Mac and Me, you had some were more
Mac and Me is it was E.T. rip off.
I'm still gonna put that in there with Gremlins.
It's too. Not though, Dan. So it's, Planet it's, Man.
Yeah. I was just Planet smiling because he said Die Hard.
Yeah, there's. I mean,
and Lethal really Weapon is more of a Christmas movie than Die Hard, but that's an they argument both for a different are. Day. One of them actually, like,
you're one of those.
I like them both, but it is more.
Are you saying Christmas because movie. Mel Gibson's all Christian crazy?
No, because there's like it, there's then it starts with Jingle Bell Rock. It has fights in Christmas tree lots.
I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm just
telling. They're both Christmas movies, and I love them.
And so is Gremlins,
and that's why we're talking about it this month.
Also, Gremlins didn't feel like a horror movie when I was younger. Sorry to cut you off, Dan.
Oh, no worries.
I never really got that. I was just like, oh, this is just. I never got the horror element. Maybe just that's a fucked up kid.
That's back when they scared you as a kid in movies. That's what Steven Spielberg's bread and butter, because there's all those scenes in E.T. and then you got some of the dark stuff in Temple of Doom.
And one of the crazy fucked me up. Temple of Doom, or why we have a PG-13 rating? Because
I was getting there, Dan. Thank you.
You interrupted me, so shut up, Todd. God damn it!
I wanted to say one thing about Pugs. You mentioned that you didn't get a horror element, and I felt that one big one that made me feel like, oh yeah, I can't say that this is a comedy, is the scene when the mother's in the kitchen and there's just silence. And then also one when she's specifically stabbing a gremlin multiple times and there's no like funny gag like in Gremlins 2. There would be some sort of like comedic gag or sound effect added in, but this had none of that. And there were some moments that were treated really seriously that I it didn't feel it was going for a laugh versus the sequel, which was going all for laughs 100% of the time. Now there's the bar scene, obviously, that whenever the gremlins are together and interacting with themselves, that's really funny. But whenever a human's involved, that's when it, I don't get that comfortable feeling of laughter. You know, I actually get like the angst or the tense part of it.
See, I think I was too young to pick up on any of that, because I was just like, oh, that's how you deal with them. That's what you got to do.
And I think I was too, but rewatching it now, like, at this age, makes me realize, like, that's why I couldn't call it a comedy.
This is the shit we were watching and no one cared.
You had an edge back then. I mean, it wasn't so sanitized. And you can see a difference between Gremlins and Gremlins 2, for sure, just at other movies at that time. But, yeah, it was definitely a much better time for children's movies that... Yeah, I mean, how many Gremlins do we get? Gremlins level movies, I think it happens, but it's rare. But yeah, I just love the subgenre. I really did. I still do. It's something feels, I don't know, it brings you back to your child.
About the subgenre, though, Dan, we're talking about Gremlins.
I know, the one that launched it, in my opinion. But yeah, Zach Galligan, big fan of his, also did Waxwork. But didn't have the career that you would have expected after this. He seemed like one that could have done a lot more.
I think he got pigeonholed, but I do want to say this is the movie that made me fall in love with Phoebe Cates. So when I got to Fast Times finally, I was like, hell yeah.
Getting older, Todd, you might get your shot.
Not wishing. Okay, well, Dan's on his A game, obviously, tonight. I would say, I don't know if it's telling of me as a child, two of my favorite scenes in movies were the bar scene in Gremlins and the bar scene in Superman 3, just for Ozzy.
Oh, God.
I love those scenes as a child. I don't know if anyone should have been concerned then, but...
I think people should be concerned now that you like anything from Superman 3.
Oh, here we go.
He likes Superman 4, anywhere. I believe.
No, like that's Superman Ozzy. 4.
Yeah.
I enjoy it, but I give Ozzy shit because that's the movie that killed Canon Pictures. So, yeah.
Nuclear Man.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Ozzy. Are you the one that likes Gremlins 2 better?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So
I enjoyed it more. You know, like I'm entertained more because it feels like a live action cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you didn't have any of these tense moments. Like specifically where one of the gremlins has Billy tied up in a dentist chair, and where in the first movie, you'd probably just have still silence throughout the scene and you probably wouldn't see the gremlin until the last minute. In the second one, he pops up and you get the music and then it's all, you know, jokey or whatever. And he's all cross-eyed and stuff. And the eyes are going all over the place. So that's why I enjoyed the second one more, just because it was constantly like it was fun to watch throughout.
So how did you like this one this time? I know, because I know you are a big fan of the sequel and not really a horror guy. So
still a fan of it. I still love it. The gremlin laugh has been something that has stuck with me. Like, even though when you first hear that laugh, you know, it's almost supposed to be, I think, intended to be like Joker's laugh almost, because in the first movie, you hear it, this particular laugh I'm thinking of, you hear it after he makes cars crash, you know, and the stuff's going on. But in the second movie, you hear it all the time. Like specifically, I remember when they're in the projector and they start messing with the movie and they do this laugh. But in the first movie, it's supposed to be portrayed as an evil laugh. And it stuck with me to the point when I wanted to know how to do that laugh.
Does that mean you're going to do it?
I mean, I can't. I got to turn down my mic a little bit. Because
I was going to say, you got a microphone there. Do it.
Go for it.
Nice.
Gremlins 3 voiceover.
Which, by the way, speaking of voiceover, when I saw the credits, not only was Howie Mandel mentioned, obviously, for Gizmo, but Michael Winslow also provided one of the voice talents.
Oh, nice.
I thought that was interesting. I didn't know that. Thought that was pretty funny.
Why do you guys think we haven't had
Gremlins 3. I mean, I guess Gremlins 2 for some people would be the answer. But
from what I read, it I thought it'd been written already. It's just a matter of actually.
It's getting Steven Spielberg to basically get on board was one of the issues for a while.
Can it work now? Can you make a good Gremlins movie in this time period?
For you, Dan, because you don't like.
Why not?
I'm, if they can match
if you the my kids now. Oh my god, Dan's gonna hate it. If they just say hashtag Gizmo, I'm done.
If, hashtag don't get them wet.
If Joe Dante's directing, I'm on board.
Yeah.
Yes. One guy that you can pretty much always count on. And that's rare considering
and often people cite as the third unofficial or closest we're gonna get to a third Gremlins film. They either bring up Looney Tunes back in action or Small Soldiers as ones that kind of fit and go with that as close as we're gonna get. Well, we're probably gonna get one, but that's always been what people have always mentioned. Which I do like those both, but they're no Gremlins.
What about a remake or reboot?
Well,
are we doing that?
We're getting the HBO Max animated series.
Which is supposed to be a prequel story.
Yeah.
Which I would find interesting because I was trying to think if like, beginning of Child's Play, the original Child's Play, you had some crazy madman put his, you know, do the spell and put his soul in the doll. What if there were some old school, like ancient warriors or whatever, whose souls ended up in this one Mogwai and like these personalities or souls got trapped in this one thing and it turns out getting it wet releases these souls or whatever. Because it seems like there's like Gizmo knows like, oh, that's Stripe. He's the bad one. This guy's and they all want to like there. It seems like there's was something there before. You know what I mean? And I would be surprised if there was if that was explored.
It is Secrets of the Mogwai is the name of the
cartoon. There you go.
HBO Max. So.
That is one I will actually watch.
Tyler. As long as we don't have like a baby Gizmo and stupid memes of baby Gizmo wanting chicken nuggies, I'm gonna fucking punch somebody.
I volunteer because I want that. you can Superman punch me
if it bumps him out of the meme.
Sphere. Oh, fuck you, Dan. The world is big enough to have
baby Yoda. We need to have baby Gizmo. Yes. You gotta have baby Gizmo immediately.
Yes, I want Gizzy.
I wouldn't be surprised if that
HBO's happened. Already trying to kill off Netflix. I guess Disney Plus is next.
Go for the jugular.
Which, and one thing actually I did want to bring up, I think really important. I know what it is.
The lack of them on HBO Max.
Well, yeah. Taking away, I mean, if you want to take away Gremlins because it's popular on Christmas, while they have a deal with whatever that some other place has the right to stream it during Christmas, whatever, I don't care. Taking away Gremlins 2, that's like robbing people of joy. I mean, come on. Don't stop being selfish.
Ozzy doesn't know what he can't watch. He doesn't know what to do with himself when he can't watch Gremlins at least twice a month.
Gremlins 2. The new batch.
The new batch.
Anyway, one thing that I thought was curious, I don't know, how did the Futterman survive getting run over by a snowplow?
Because I'm blanking on, oh my god. Why am I fucking blanking on his name? Dick Miller.
Yeah. Fuck,
he has to be in every Joe Dante movie, so they kind of probably figured there was going to be a sequel. So that's why he lived.
No, in the film, he's run over with a snowplow, and then you hear, or rather, the next scene is the sheriff station, or one of the next scenes is them at the sheriff station, and they get the phone call, and they say something happened at the Futterman's.
Okay. So you've never noticed before? No, you're right. At the end of the movie, they mention he survives if you listen on the radio. Like, it's on the radio. It's mentioned that somehow that Mr. Futterman survived.
Right. How did that happen? Because the last we saw of them, Gremlins were running over them with a snowplow.
Like
maybe he lost the
So you're worried about the logic of that, but not the little gremlins. Is that the one part that throws it off for you?
Well, no. Okay, so they've established this universe where these things, you don't get them wet, and you don't feed them after midnight, and you don't get and you don't bright light or kill him, whatever. Okay, fine. These are the rules established in this universe. But the common rule of science says that if somebody runs over a human being with a snowplow, that human being does not survive.
Maybe there was a ditch underneath there.
In the house?
We're in the house. Foundation. There's a foundation.
Why would the gremlins stop? You know what? It's like the gremlins, like, you know, we don't want to kill you. We just wanted to scare you. We're going to stop right here. We're going to walk out. We'll let you guys live. That's the only scenario that could happen.
World War II bunker.
John Wayne Gacy.
He should not have lived, but he did. So that's all that matters.
No, but. Funny reference, Dick Miller, because he does mention that gremlins were used in World War II. Turned out to be a real thing? Like in this prequel or whatever that they showed in World War II, that they had these gremlins to make people think that they were crazy. That's why it was never talked about.
Charles Band directs Gremlins 3.
Do you guys remember I think they might have still showed them the Gremlins cartoons, the Bugs Bunny ones. Before they all got pulled for being kind of racist.
More than kinda.
Yeah, Gremlins, that's why it's a Warner thing. They first appeared in Bugs Bunny cartoons in World War II in airplanes.
Mm. I'm going to look this up. I did not know this.
Neat. Okay.
I'm trying to behave because now it's just like, what if fucking Mangala made these things to go after Jews? Like,
they're going to get that dark.
Well, that's what I want.
Interesting, but I don't think they're going to have Dr. Mangala in Gremlins 3.
Well, we'll see.
Can you imagine, like, you would have...
Yes, I can.
Then, like, now it's like, what the hell? Dr. Mangala? Geez. Who plays Dr. Mangala in Gremlins 3?
Joseph Manganiello.
We need somebody light and fluffy. John Goodman. I don't know.
Worse for me.
Oh, man.
I just want them running around the camps and stuff, like just tormenting them. Riding the train.
You are not going to work for any major studio, Pugs, but I wish you would.
Thank you.
I know. I'm letting you guys run wild while I'm trying to find the clip. Ozzy's like,
Happy Hanukkah.
I was actually marking stuff off my list of notes that I took. And the only thing I left off was the Gremlins as carolers made me laugh my ass off.
Oh, yeah. All right. The one thing that I did want to do, and that was I know, Ozzy, just in this movie, you'll have another show to talk about your favorite part two Gremlins. Favorite Gremlins in Gremlins 1. Who's your favorite gremlin?
I can't pick Gizmo, right? Since he's technically not a gremlin. I'll go Stripe.
Okay.
Wait a second. That's bullshit. You can't do that with Gremlins 1 because there's only two personalities. And there's Gizmo, there's the Stripe, and then there's practically everybody else.
Rest.
No, there's not, because I'm going to pick one of my favorite gremlins, which is Flasher Gremlin.
And of course. Yeah. I forgot about Flasher Gremlin, the only other specific gremlin in Gremlins. There's Stripe, Gizmo, and then the Flasher Gremlin.
There's different gremlins.
You sound like a toy marketer. That's like, oh, this is the dancing gremlin. This is the Flasher Gremlin with its special Flasher coat.
There's a special gremlin, Daffy. I think Daffy was the name, right?
Is that
your favorite?
99% sure. Yeah, you got a special gremlin. Why not?
That was in Gremlins 2.
I don't think it's
our special gremlin, by the way.
Favorite gremlin should be a question reserved for Gremlins 2 because there's enough to choose from. This movie is, you only have very few choices.
I disagree, but.
So, of the three, which is your favorite, Ozzy?
Yeah, I don't have a favorite. There you go.
Okay.
Because my favorite's in the new batch. And yes, it's place? Tony Randall.
I know. All right. Do we have anything else on this one? Since
no, but guys, be sure to watch this one. I think it's one that 2020's been rough. It will lift your spirits. And for some reason, if you haven't seen it, I always come across people that for some weird reason
check it out. It'll make you feel good. It'll entertain you. And if you know, you want to watch something with your kids that's not completely insufferable, they knew how to make them back then.
And wow. Definitely watch the sequel.
Yep.
Yes, with Dr. Mink.
Not that sequel.
You need to write a fan script of this, Pugs, because I want to see it.
I don't think I don't need that evidence held against me in the future crime. So.
On that note, guys, be sure to like, share, and subscribe here on YouTube because it really helps the channel. And we appreciate it very much. FleshwoundFeatures.com for all your shopping needs. And Pugs, send us home.
All right. Like, share, subscribe, all that nonsense. Follow us across all the social media bullshits. And you can help support us on Patreon. Starts at a dollar. And most importantly, you get it uncensored and exclusive content on there. So go check that out. Check out Flesh Wound Farce with my boy Ozzy here.
Yeah.
Feliz Navidad, everyone. Say it later.
Peace. Good night.
And good luck.